The end of the first parak in Kiddushin, Mishnayos present us with a series of principles about mitzvahs, one of which is perhaps the most famous, is one that's referenced here in Brachas Daf Chaf Amud Beis. The mitzvah says, Shazman Graban Hashem Peturos. Most halachic obligations for Jews don't differentiate between men and women. Most mitzvahs apply or don't apply equally to both men and women. The small handful of mitzvahs that do apply to men and not to women. And typically those are the mitzvahs asei shazman grama. Positive mitzvahs that are time-bound. Most mitzvahs asei shazman grama are not obligatory for women. There are a few exceptions to that rule also. And that's a klal that we're familiar with. From that series of klalei mitzvahs, the end of the first parak of Kiddushin. And you have a discussion, one of the topics in the Mishnayos in the third parak of Brachas, for those who are reviewing the Mishnayos over the summer, in advance of diving into the Masechta. So you saw that one of the topics in the third parak of Brachas is that question of which mitzvahs are obligatory for both men and women equally, and which do not, which are obligatory only for men, Nashim Chayavim v'Nashim Peturos. So the Mishnah presents here in Daf Chaf a handful. The first three proclamations of the Masechta are about Kriyat Shema. So the Mishnah is talking about Kriyat Shema and Tefillin are two mitzvahs which women are Peturos, as opposed to Tefillah, Mezuzah, and Birkas HaMazon apply equally to men and women. So then the Gemara expands the conversation. Let's take a look at the Gemara here. The Gemara that you had a chance to take a look together. We'll begin with the Gemara that you saw b'chavrusa just a few minutes ago. And let's see where that takes us. Amar v'ada bar hava from the two dots. Amar v'ada bar hava, how about kiddush? The Mishnah spoke about kriyat shema and tefillah on the one hand, tefillah, mezuzah, birkas hamazon on the other hand, but that obviously leaves a wide field of mitzvahs that we have not yet addressed. So how about kiddush? Amar v'ada bar hava, nashim chayavas b'kiddush hayom dvar Torah. Women are obligated. And in the mitzvah of Kiddush, min ha-Torah. So that's the comment of the Amor of Adar Rabs. The Gemara immediately jumps, I don't understand. We have a principle and a mission in Kiddushin. Amai. Why would that be the case? Mitzvah Seishas non-gramu. Kiddush is obviously a classical mitzvah Seishas non-gramu. Clearly mitzvah Sei. Zachar Zama Shabbos Gacho. And it's clearly non-gramu. It only applies on Shabbos. Specifically the beginning of Shabbos. So what would warrant Rav Adrava's statement that women are chayav in Kiddush? So first Abai gives his approach, and then Rava gives his approach. So Abai says, what's Abai's answer? How can it be that they're chayav if Mitzvah says she's my grandma? So Abai says, right. I have the answer to the question. The Rabbanan, right. How does Sayyid Rabban answer the problem? The problem was, it's a mitzvah Sayyid Shalom, it's a Sayyid Shalom.
The Rabbanan could be
good
however they want
to. Mitzvah Sayyid says, look, mitzvah Sayyid Shalom, the fact that, in general, the fact that the principle is mitzvah Sayyid Shalom, Gramma, Noshim, Peturos, we said it's a Mishnah and Kiddushin, the Gemara and Kiddushin, roots then in Psukim, and Joshua some Psukim. So that's a Din D'oraisa. All these mitzvahs d'oraisa, a handful of them, don't apply to women. There's a chiyuv d'oraisa of lulav, but women aren't obligated. The chiyuv d'oraisa of sukkah, women aren't obligated, and so forth. So Abai sounds like he's saying, you're right. Women are peturos from Kiddush Minat Torah, but Chazal, it's true that it's a mitzvah shan grama, but Chazal superimposed the chiyuv d'rabban. They create a new chiyuv d'rabban in Kiddush. And Rava says it's absurd. Number one, it doesn't fit the language. And number two, logically, in terms of logical content, what you're saying, it doesn't seem to hold water either. It says, number one, Amar Le Rava V'Hadvar Torah Kamar. If Adar Rava said, they're Chayavas B'Kiddush Yom Devar Torah. We use, in the late 20th century, early 21st century, we use the terminology Devar Torah to mean, you know, an idea that you get up and share at a simcha. But when the Tana and Amram use the word Devar Torah, that means Adin D'Oraisa. So if Adar Rava says, it doesn't mean they should say Kiddush and they should also give Dvar Torah at the Suda. That means that the Min HaTorah, they're Chayiv and Kiddush. So Rava says, Atabai, I don't understand how do you claim that he's only talking level drabbanan, it's clear that he's saying it's a chiyuv daraisa. As a matter of fact, if you take a step back for a moment, the even more fundamental point that Rav Adarav was making is that kiddush is daraisa. Forget about men and women. The chiyuv of kiddush is a chiyuv daraisa. How do you know? Who told you that kiddush is a chiyuv daraisa? Brachas of chav aves. The Gemara is saying women are chayav min haTorah. Obviously, it's a concept, the obligation of min haTorah, and it even a level of daraisa. The scope of this chiyuv includes both men and women. So Rava says, I don't understand how your tarot fits the language. The ode, and there's also a logical problem. Then all mitzvahs to say we ought to, nechayvin hu, means we ought to make them be chayiv midrabanan. What's his second kasha? Why would we make women chayiv in all mitzvahs to say?
If you're saying that, okay, so it's mitzvahs from a grandma, but we're not going to make them chayiv anyway, so why would we use it for every mitzvah? Why do we feel for it?
Right. In other words, to rephrase what Eitan is saying, the principle that's driving up Rava's second kasha is the following. Chazal have the authority to invent new Dim Drabanan. In addition to interpreting the Dim and discovering the Dim Daraisa that are embedded in the text of the Chumash, Chazal have the authority. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them authority to invent new Dim Drabanan. But that's an incredible chiddush, and it's a limited chiddush. Chazal can't just willy-nilly make up any drabanan they want to. They have the right and obligation even to create drabanan when there's cause. So you can't just say, well, it's a din drabanan. Based on what? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the following mitzvahs apply to both men and women. Category one. Category two, mitzvahs eishon v'agrama apply only to men and not to women. So here he finds an exception. He said, well, maybe Chazal said, it's true, Torah, she's Petura, Mijabon, she's Chai. Based on what? Well, what Rav is really asking is, based on what? You're just saying that Chazal imposed the Chiv Draban for women on all mitzvahs that shows my grandma? It's clearly not the case. But then you need, if that's not the case, which is clearly not the case, then you need to explain what warranted this. What warranted distinguishing Kiddush from the rest? What is it about Kiddush that somehow calls for a Din Drabanan? Based on what grounds? That's really, if you unpack it, that's just the Omek HaPshat of what Rav is asking. He says, if you're not going to explain to me why Kiddush uniquely needed a Chiyuv Drabanan for women, so then we're left saying, well, maybe Chazal just imposed the Chiyuv Drabanan for women on all the societies I'm going. Why not? Which is exactly Rav's kasha. Then they ought to have been mechayev them in all of them. Why is Kiddush unique? So Rav says, for both reasons, because of the lashon and logically, I'm going to reject what Abaye said. Ela, instead, Rav said, what? Amar kra, it must be, it's a din daraisa. Din daraisa means I have a pasuk. Where's my pasuk to mechayev women in Kiddush? Contra to the usual rule of mitzvah seishas ran grabba nashon patros. The answer is, Amar kra, zachar v'shamar. Kosh yeshna v'shmir, yeshna v'zchira. Zachar and shamar go together. Shamar. Those who are learning, who here is Lemasachas Makas? Lemasachas. So you remember, he shamar pen v'yal. The word shamar, or he shamer, means beware. It means don't do something. Even though that's not the word lo, it works the same as the word lo. When you have the language of shmira, that generates an iser. It generates a lo sasay. So shamar shamar Shabbos l'kadsho, keep Shabbos, means beware of doing the wrong thing. So what is shmir to be a shomer Shabbos means to not do averes on Shabbos, to not do malachas on Shabbos. That's a lot. So shamar shamar Shabbos l'kadsho applies to both men and women because it's not a mitzvah sase. But we have a rule that mitzvah sase is not grama nashim paturos. Shamar is a mitzvah lo sase. So not to eat chametz and pesach applies equally to both men and women. Not to do malacha on Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Yom Tov, that applies equally to both men and women. That's a mitzvah lo sase shazon and grama. There's no differentiation typically. So women are chayav, that's the given. The women are as obligated as men to avoid doing malacha, as obligated as men in the law, in the lo sase of shomer, kosh yeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'zechira. So
So whatever is included in Shmir is included in Zechir. Why?
Because Zachar and Shamar go together. Zachar and Shamar go together because they don't appear together. The Chumash, usually you have a Hekish, means you have something that that two dinim that appear, two concepts that appear in the same pasuk. So we call that Hekish, and then one of the Nitzah Tamed Resh then is one of the principles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. One of the principles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu to the part of Torah Shbal Peh, the methods of interpreting Chumash to mind to discover the additional nuggets of meaning that were embedded there. One of the ways of making drashas is Hekish. You have two concepts in pasuk. You assume that they share qualities. Zohar and Shomer are on the same pasuk. They're not even the same Chumash. Zohar is in Yisrael and Shomer is in Baschan. The two retellings of the series are different from Chumash. But Zohar and Shomer b'dibur echadem. We see them as being the equivalent of being the same pasuk. They're parallel, and maybe that Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed that's the way Chazal seems to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu, we say metaphorically, spoke them. He caused us to hear both of those terms simultaneously at our Sinai. So it's like an honorary hekesh. So Zachar and Shamar go together. Shamar means don't do malacha. Zachar lahazkir, to mention Shabbos, that's Kiddush. Kiddush and malacha go together. So whoever is obligated to not do malacha is obligated to make Kiddush. That's what Rava says. Azar bar Ava, an earlier Amora, had formulated this Kiddush, that despite the fact that Kiddush is a mitzvah say Shashan Grama, it's one of the exceptions, not the only exception. Matzah and Sibur Tiyas Mitzrayim are also exceptions. There are a handful of exceptions. Mitzvah says Shashan Zman Grama, where Nashim are Chayavos. Each time you have such an exception, there has to be some specific drasha that drives the exception. So here it's Zachar v'Shamar. Here it's Zachar v'Shamar. Okay. So what do we have just from the Gemara? Just appreciate for a moment the Gemara alone. As we saw just a couple lines of Gemara, a lot already happened. You learn the Gemara with open eyes. Nothing fancy. Just actually thinking through the Gemara. A couple of Chidushim La'alacha and a couple of awarenesses. And now what we did, we discovered that Kiddush is a Din D'oraisa. And indeed, the Rambam and others counted as one of the Targum of the Torah. You see it at Kiddush D'oraisa. Not only that, the Kiddush specifically is also a Chiyuv D'oraisa even for women. It's an exception to the usual rule of Mitzvah Saseh, Shazman Grama. Abaye thought it was an exceptional level of Drabanan. Rav rejects that. He says, no, it's an exception in a Torah. That's what Rav Adar seems to say. And there's a Drasha, there's a specific Drasha, Zachar V'Shamar, that drives this exception. And again, appreciating Rava's kasha, that very, very quick kasha, if you blink, you miss it. But if you think about, if you unpack in your mind what his kasha is, so they also brought us into the world of thinking about the mechanics of Din Drabanan and what drives the Din Drabanan, how they're formulated, and that's exactly what Rava was saying. You know, well, by based on what grounds would Chazal have uniquely added a Din Drabanan for Chiyuv Drabanan for women in Kiddush, as opposed to any other mitzvah say Shazman Gram. Okay. So a very beautiful Gemara stands on its own. You saw that the Rishonim, the Gemara's, the Maskana of the Gemara is clear. Women, Kiddush is a Din D'oraisa for both men and women. What's not clear on either front, perhaps, is which parallel Chiyuv, where is there debate about the whether what the women's status is? Abdullah. And Abdullah, Bezosif quotes that Rishonim debated about Abdullah. Let's take a look inside, and we'll see where this takes us. The Bezosif, just to give you a little bit of a 30 to 90 second snapshot of intellectual Jewish history of the last 2,000 years, you'll know who the Bezosif is. Very. We can do this quickly, so it's going to be very approximate numbers. Think about the last 2,000 years. You could divide them into roughly four chunks of 500 years each. Very loosely speaking, this is approximate, from the year 1 to the year 500, is roughly speaking Tanaim and the Amoraim. Tanaim, who ultimately became the authors of the Mishnayos. The Yohanasi puts Mishnayos together around the year 240, around 140 years or so after, 170 years after the Korban Bayis. Korban Bayis changes around the year 70. Around the year 240 is the end of the Yehuda Nasi, puts together Mishnayos, end of the Tanaim. till a little bit after the year 500 is the period of the Amoraim. The Gemara. Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael don't last as long. Amoraim and Babel run until a little bit after the year 500. So for those first 500 years, Tanam, Amoraim, the next 500 years, from loosely speaking, 500 to 1,000 is Gaonim. It's post Gemara, after Chasimus HaTalmud. But what distinguishes the period of the Gaonim, that the center of gravity of Torah learning is still in Babel. The main yeshivas in the world continue to be the yeshivas in Babel, Sur, and Pervadisa. Jews are living in tens of countries, but they're sending their shilas back to Iran and Iraq, back to Sur and Pervadisa. From around the year 1000 to around the year 1500 is the period of the Rishonim. At that point, there are a lot of famous names. Gaonim are not so familiar to us necessarily. The Rishonim are Rif and Rashi and Rambam and the Natam and the Rajba and the Ran and so on and so forth. Around the year 1000, around the year 1500, what distinguishes Rishonim from Gaonim, a lot of things, but specifically, geographically, the center of gravity is no longer in Babel. Now the center of Torah learning is wrapped around the Mediterranean, in France and in Spain, in Italy, in Morocco, up in Germany also. Ashkenazim and the Sephardim, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, and Rishonim are now already a lot of famous names, a lot of incredible Chidushim, and now we've moved to Europe and North Africa. And finally, approximately the last 500 years, from around the year 1500 to the present, is the period of the Acharonim. The dividing line there is usually the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch moves from Spain to Tzfat, together with a number of other very, very famous Talmidei Chabad living in Tzfat in the 1500s. The Arizal, Rosh Hashanah, the Al-Kabetz, the Al-Shef, and the Shita Mekubetzes is a whole fascinating group of Talmidei Chachamim and extraordinary Talmidei Chachamim in Tzfat. So that's in the 1500s. Rav Yosef Karo is busy writing Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah up in Krakow in Poland is busy writing what would become his comments, his hagos, to the Shulchan Aruch, and that's usually the dividing line between Rishonim and Achronim. Before the Shulchan Aruch, before Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he first, this is part of a larger flow, towards the end of the period of Bal Yatosis in the 1300s, the Rush flees Germany for Spain, and settles in Spain, a lot to say about that some other time, and begins to pull things together. It had been hundreds of years from the days of Rashi through the period of Balayatosis of Chidushim in Sugyas, and which had halachic relevance. The Rosh, who you know from the back of the Gemara, pulls them together into the Rif, and around the year 1000 had written a kitzer of the Gemara Lahalacha. The Rosh updates it. In the 1300s, he adds a Chidushim in the Balayatosis. The Rosh's son, Rabbeinu Yaakov, decides the Rif and the Rosh, they were writing Al Seder HaGemara. They were writing Halacha L'maisa Al Seder HaGemara. I'm going to write Halacha L'maisa in a topical order. Instead of having to know which Masechta to look in, we're going to put the Halachas of Brachas here, Halachas of Shabbos here, Yantiv here, and Kashrus is here, and Getting Married is over here, and Honesty and Business is over there. We're going to organize it into Arba'a Turim. That became known as the Tur. He created a framework for organized taxonomy, for organizing halacha in the 1300s. 2 centuries later, Yosef Karo, who we know as the author of Shulchan Aruch, first wrote the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is his running commentary on the Torah. The Torah gives you dinim, and occasionally we'll quote a Rishon or two by name. And the Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo, gives the whole background. He says, well, there's a Gemara here, and there's a Tosas here, and there's a Rambam here, and the Rashba here, and that's why there are 3 opinions, and the Torah is quoting one of them. As a matter of fact, when you learn Shulchan Aruch, it's really the last line of the paragraph. The Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo, and the Beis Yosef, the start of the Torah, lays out the whole sugya, all the Gemara, all the Shitos. Shulchan Aruch, he's even the bottom line. Oh, and we paskin like this. But the Shulchan Aruch is makes sense in context of the way he lays out the sugya in the Beis Yosef. So here we have a chance to see exactly that. The Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the same Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch have the same yard site. Because they're written by the same person. Here's the Beis Yosef, he quotes, Kosovo Orchis one of the Rishonim of Provence, wrote that Nashim Eim Abdiyos Asma, women don't make Abdallah, no need to make Abdallah for themselves. They're together with the rest of the family, men and women together, they can all listen to Abdallah. But a woman by herself, Orchis Chaim said, no reason for her to make Abdallah. Ein Abdallah Taliya Bishmir Shabbos. Abdallah doesn't depend on keeping Shabbos. Women are Mechuyavos to avoid Malacha, But that doesn't necessarily mean they have to make Havdalah. Interesting line. Why would I have thought that Havdalah relates to Shmir Shabbos? No, he says, that's not the case. Rabbana has mechu akra. Chazal just created, it's an invention of Rabbanan with an asmachta from a pasuk. But it's really a din Rabbanan. A number of you in Seder are trying to figure out what. I got the first line. He said that women aren't chayav as an Havdalah. Yeah, how does the rest of it flow? Because Havdalah doesn't relate to Shmir Shabbos, because it's a din Rabbanan. Women can be chayav din Rabbanan. Women have to hear Megillah. That's Rabbanan. How does it flow? And then they go to the Godot and say, Rabbi Yonah disagrees. Rabbi Yonah says, Kishim Shemim is Bekiddush, and then it's Havdalah. No, they are Chayav Havdalah the same with their Chayav in Kesh. So what's clear is that there is a machlokas lahalacha amongst the Rishonim, whether women are obligated in Havdalah or not. Why you would say one way or the other is a little bit murky. Do you see that you go down to Shulchan Aruch, the same location, the same organizational scheme, Aruchayim Siman Reish Tariv Vav.
And the halachas of Havdalah.
The block print this you know from Lehi Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is Shulchan Aruch with the particular mefarshim on the bottom. Nashim Chayavos, the block print is the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ksar Rashi is Ramah. Nashim Chayavos is Chabah Havdalah, Kishem Shulchavos Bekiddush. The Yesh Mishacholik. Ah, so the Mechaber says, there's a Mechokas. Not surprised. If you just were to talk to Shulchan Aruch, like, where did this come from? Okay, so now I know where he's coming from. He's saying some Rishonim hold that women are chayav Havdalah, some disagree, say no, they're not. And the Ramah says, Al kein lo yadil liatzman, makishm Havdalah me'an Hashem. That's why women should hedge their bets. She's going to say Havdalah herself, so maybe she's patur into bracha batala. On the other hand, she's not going to hear Havdalah at all, so then maybe she's obligated and not fulfilling. So the solution is, let her hear. The man is definitely chayav Havdalah. He'll make Havdalah, his wife will listen, his sister or his neighbor, whatever it is. Man will make Havdalah, woman will listen. And that way, if she's chayeves, she was yotzei. If she's not chayeves, she didn't say bracha batal. That's the Ramah. Again, we saw Shulchan Aruch presented the two opinions. And the Ramah presented a fix, a compromise solution. Yeah, but what was going on in that Beis Yosef? They're putter because it's a drabana. Well, what does that all mean?
Yeah, what does it mean?
What does it mean? Any suggestions?
Bruce and I seem to say that the nafkamina is whether or not it's part of Shabbos.
Whether or not it's part of Shabbos. Oh, okay, what do you mean?
Whether or not Havdalah is included in Shmir Shabbos, like Tali, like the... We're still a little confused on that, but that was the basic idea.
He does say that. He has that line that... Not doesn't depend on keeping Shabbos. The question is, what does that mean? Yeah. And that terminology, Shmir Shabbos, where have we heard that before? Remind me your names.
Ellie.
Before
we
Ellie.
Dyckman. We made the connection between Zechir and Shmir before, so we said that just as they're Chayav and Shmir, they're Chayav and Zechir.
Ooh.
So is the Havdalah part of Zechir.
Ah, so Ellie says Shmir Shabbos doesn't mean keeping Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos is the technical term. That means Shomer. I say Havdalah is not. So good. So Elliot's saying the Aruch Chaim was arguing, unlike Kiddush, Havdalah is not connected to Shama. Instead, it's a Din Drabanan. And why? How does that help? It's Drabanan, therefore. You're onto something? You're onto something good? Let me show you the counterpoint. Turn to the Rambam. And you look at the Rambam, and then the Rambam is... typically not trying to say chidushim, just trying to lay out the dinim clearly. The chidushim are presented very subtly. Here we are at the beginning of the 29th parak of Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos is one of the longest sections in all of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. It goes to 30 parakim altogether. The 29th parak is dedicated to the halachas of Kiddush and Havdalah. Let's enjoy the golden pen of the Rambam. Herakhaftes halacha al. How many of you saw the Rambam inside the Harusa? Fantastic. Okay, now let's take a look together. And you'll see how much you already noticed and how much you didn't yet notice that now, looking a second time, you notice what you didn't see the first time. This I say, man, I told the Rambam is almost invariably magnificently organized, and that was very intentional on his part. One of his objectives in the Mishnah Torah, in writing the Mishnah Torah, was to organize the whole mass of material of the Torah Shel Peh, Chazal, the Bavli, Rishalmi, Tosefta, the Drashim, and to, we know that Gemara is conversational. Things will therefore, like, as in any good conversation, topics will pop up in different places. And the Rambam was one of the Rambam's goals in writing the Mishnah Torah was to bring everything back into its orderly, proper place. So typically, very often he'll start a parak by telling you, now we're going to discuss the following mitzvah. And that's what exactly he does here. Mitzvah same in HaTorah. One of the 613 mitzvahs is the Kadesh is Yom HaShabbos B'dvarim Kiddush. To sanctify Shabbos with words. That's what saying Kiddush is. I articulate, I speak of the Kiddush of Shabbos. Don't just do it, don't just experience it, just happen. I talk about it. We're going to be going to articulate what's happening. Shenemar, what's the pasuk for this mitzvah? Zachar Zachar Shabbos Lekadosh. Okay. Where did Rambam get this from? That there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush that's rooted in the Zachar Zachar Shabbos Lekadosh. Brachas Tav Chaf Mevei. Okay, I talk about it. Well, okay. Watch what he says. Watch carefully. Because again, the Rambam isn't trying to push his Kiddush. He's just presenting the dinim. If your eyes are open, you notice when he says something that we might not otherwise have said ourselves. Shenemar, Zachar Zachar Shabbos Lekadosh. Good. Kolomar, what does that mean to say? Zochareihu zefiras shevach v'kiddush. Zochar tam shabbos kacha doesn't just mean remember; it means zochareihu speak, mention, praise Shabbos, mention the kedusha of Shabbos. V'tzarech lezochareihu b'chnisaso v'yitziaso. You need to mention it when Shabbos enters and when Shabbos leaves. B'chnisaso b'kedusha yom u'v'yitziaso b'havdala. When Shabbos enters, we say Kiddush. When Shabbos leaves, we say Havdalah. What bombshell did the Rambam just drop?
Havdalah is a part of Zachar.
Exactly. Havdalah is a part of Zachar. What did you say, Avi?
Zachar extends longer time.
Right. Zachar, we think of the mitzvah of Kiddush as something you say at the beginning of Shabbos. The Rambam saw the mitzvah of Kiddush as more broadly, when there's a transition between Kodesh and Chol, between Shabbos and Chol, you need to speak about it. It can't just happen. You need to articulate it. So the transition happens both on Friday afternoon and on Motzai Shabbos. When you go, when Shabbos begins, you have to say Kiddush. When Shabbos ends, you have to say Kiddush. We call the second one Havdalah. The truth is, what he's really saying is that the mitzvah of Kiddush is to say Havdalah. If you think about it, the mitzvah Havdalah means differentiation, right? To talk about differences, the Havdil. That Ram is saying that's what Kiddush is. That when you transition between Chol and Shabbos, you need to talk about it. So when you transition, you need to be Mavdil between Chol and Shabbos. On the way in, we call it Kiddush. On the way out, we call it Havdal. But for the Ramah, they're the same mitzvah d'oraisa. They are. You fulfill Zachar Sam and Shabbos Lekadosh twice a week, when Shabbos begins and when Shabbos ends. It's two halves of the same sandwich, if you will. So that's fascinating. The Lav Nafka Kamin is in this. Let's start with that Pesosev, coined the Orchis Chaim, that seemed very murky before. The Orchis Chaim, again, was the one, maybe I closed the Orchis Chaim and Yona. Orchis Chaim was the one who had said that women are Peturas from Havdalah. And he had said, why? Because Havdalah isn't connected to Shmir Shabbos. And why? Well, because it's just a din drabanan. There's an asmachta, there's no real drasha for it. It's a din drabanan. How does all that, looking at the Rambam, how does the Orchis Chaim now fall into beautiful place? How do you understand logical flow? Take it away.
Because it's not on the Shmir, it's on the Zikir.
Oh. The Rambam says that Havdalah is the same mitzvah as Kiddush. Which means that Havdalah is Daraisa, the same thing Kiddush is Daraisa. It means, you know, the Gemara in Brachas Tabchav are the days that said that Kiddush is Daraisa, Zohar Sama Shabbos Kacho Min HaTorah means Kiddush. For the Rambam, Min HaTorah means Kiddush twice a week. What we call Kiddush, what we call Havdalah. So number one, for the Rambam, it means that Havdalah is Daraisa, it's part of the mitzvah Daraisa of Kiddush. And number two, for the Rambam, presumably Havdalah is Daraisa even for women, because It's the same drasha. Zohar Zohar Shabbos Kachor means saying Kiddush on Havdalah. So if there's a hekesh of Zohar to Shavar, Koshyeshna v'shmir yeshna v'zchira, that obligates them equally in both halves for the Rambam of the mitzvah of Zechira. Both the Kiddush, Friday night Zechira, which we call Kiddush, and the Motzei Shabbos Zechira, which we call Havdalah. For the Rambam, that those two are part of the same, two halves of the same mitzvah, the hekesh, the chiyuv d'oraisa for women applies to both. And indeed, the Rambam says later on that men and women are chayav in Kiddush and Havdalah. The Orchaz Chaim isn't agreeing with the Rambam, but he's actually disagreeing, but he had the Rambam in mind. Now you look back at the Orchaz Chaim, but they say, oh, it's a kind of gorgeous. He says, women don't have, cause again, cause of Orchaz Chaim, noshim eim avdios la'atzman. Women don't say Havdalah for themselves. They have no obligation to, if it's just a one woman by herself or a group of women by themselves, they have no obligation to say Havdalah. Why? They ain't Havdalah, clearly, b'shmir Shabbos. It doesn't depend on Shmir Shabbos. Ella, instead, Rabbanas Mechu Akra. What do you mean, Rabbanas Mechu Akra? Meaning, the whole Chiyuv Havdalah, the Orchaz Chaim believes, is merely the Rabbanah. In other words, Orchaz Chaim is disagreeing with the Rambam. The Rambam said that Kiddush and Havdalah part of the same mitzvah d'oraisa. Orchaz Chaim says, I don't agree. And there are many Rishonim who don't agree. There are many Rishonim who think that Havdalah is not part of the mitzvah of Kiddush. Zohar Zohar Shabbos Kacho is only Friday night. When Shabbos is over, there's in Rabbanan to say Havdalah. Ah, and if that's the case, so then, now we understand the flow of ideas. If Havdalah is a new, unrelated Dindra Rabbanan, then there's no reason to assume that it's Hukash to Shmir Shabbos. It's not Hukash, it's a new Dindra Rabbanan. Chazal create a new Dindra Rabbanan, the Havdalah, that's the Shabbos. So the default position, if I have a mitzvah say, Shazman Grama, Noshna Peturis, regardless of whether it's Darais or Rabbanan. It's not that somehow being Drabban as opposed to being Daraisa inherently makes you more or less chayav. But his point was, if it's, once you see the Rambam, now you understand what the Orchaz Chaim is driving at. If it's Daraisa, if Havdalah is Daraisa, it's not a new separate mitzvah Daraisa. If Havdalah is Daraisa, then as the Rambam said, it's part of the mitzvah Daraisa of Kiddush. And it has all the same features as Kiddush, including that women are chayav based on Zachar v'Shamar. But if it's Rabbanan, the point is not so much Rabbanan Daraisa, the point is it part of Kiddush or is it a new separate din Rabbanan? A new separate din. If it's Rabbanan, then it's a new separate unrelated din, in which case, mitzvah se shazman grama, nashim peturos. But if, and Rabbi Yonah said, no, kishem shechayos bekiddush, kachayos behavdala. Certainly, if you say Kiddush is Daraisa, and Havdalah is Daraisa, part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kiddush, then obviously women are obligated in Havdalah just as they're obligated in Kiddush. If you say it's a mitzvah drabanan, so then there's maybe room to maneuver. So the Orchaz Chaim thought it's a mitzvah drabanan and thought that Chazal created a new separate mitzvah drabanan with no connection whatsoever to Kiddush, and therefore it's only obligatory for men, but not for women. So now, now we look back in the Gemara Bracha, number one, look back in the Gemara Bracha of Chaf and Vez. Geshmak. There's more and more that's layered into this Gemara. And more and more, you may have seen the Rambam before, but now you appreciate more what the Rambam is driving at and the subtleties in what he was saying. And he wasn't trying to make a big deal of it, because he's just presenting the way, he wasn't trying to write Chidushim. He's just trying to write over the Dinim. From the Rambam's perspective, something we'll see time and again over the course of the year, Rambam's perspective, he was just organizing what Chazal said. He didn't see himself as making a solution, but he's giving you his read on Chazal. Without making a big deal of it, he understood the Gemaras in a particular way. And now the Orchaz Chaim is gorgeous. And now, finally, we appreciate more fully what the Rambam was saying. So, Machlokas, whether Havdalah is part of Kiddush, we know there's a Chiyuv Havdalah, whether Havdalah is a part of Kiddush or Havdalah is a new separate Chiyuv, i.e. a Chiyuv Drabanan, is going to drive whether Havdalah is included in Brachas Avchav, women are Chayiv, or it's not included in Brachas Avchav, and therefore women are Pater. Shulchan Aruch just presented well to Machlokas. From there, Shulchan Aruch get the impression that he thinks the Iker Sheet is the first one, that they are Chayiv, Yesh Mishacholik. The Rambam seems like he's trying to really thread the needle. He's going to be trying to make everyone happy. So the Rama says we have to take care of the Archas Chaim's concern that they're potter. We have to take care of Ben Yonah and the Rambam that they're chayiv. The solution is listen to someone else, be yotze with someone else, and that way if you're chayiv, you're yotze. If you're not chayiv, no bracha atalik because you haven't said it. No violation of bracha atalik listening to someone else's bracha, only if I say it myself. Yeah, eight times.
So why would the Archas Chaim say it using the language of Tzmuya Bishmir Shabbos? Isn't he really saying that just it's not part of Zohar?
Right, and therefore it's not connected to Shabbat. Because remember the next step in the logic, the Gemara said the reason why women are chayav in Kiddush is because Zohar is hukash to Shabbat. So he calls Yeshna Bishmir, Yeshna Bishmir. So the scope of an application of Shabbat is going to draw, is going to define the scope of Zohar. Anyone. Both men and women are chayav in shmir, therefore both men and women are chayav in shmir. Does that statement hold true for Havdalah also? Whoever is chayav in shmir is chayav in Havdalah. The Rav Chaim says no, because Havdalah is not part of Zohar, therefore it's never equated to Shammah.
Right,
so take you back to the... Right, that ultimately, where it goes back to is we begin with the fact that women are chayav in Shammah, because women are chayav in the Losa say Shazman Grama. And then we had that had driven that then whoever is included Shamra is also included in Zohar. But he said, no, Abdullah is not connected to Tishmur. Yeah, question.
What would the Ramah hold if there was no men to say Abdullah for a woman?
That is a good question. So that's a good question. Post can talk about that. And the Ramah is saying that oftentimes you can sidestep the problem. You can avoid the machlokas and make everyone happy. And what do you do when you're stuck? The implication of the Shulchan Aruch is that the Iker is like the Rambam and Ben Yonah. Right? Going back to the language of the Shulchan Aruch, in the block print, women are chayav avdol, same with their chayav and kiddush, which is a direct quote, almost direct quote, from the language of the Ben Yonah that Bezos had presented. And there's someone who disagrees. So you get the impression that he thinks the Iker is like a Ben Yonah. So when we can, I think I said the predominant view of poskim is when we can, we try to satisfy the Orchaz Chaim's position also. Let the woman be yotze with a man rather than saying herself. But if she's stuck, he either will make Abdullah for herself or will not make Abdullah whatsoever. I think the predominant view of poskim is that she should make Abdullah. She should make Abdullah because the Iker Shita is that of the Rambam. That of the Rambam and Rabban Yonah.
You also don't want a brachal of Atala.
You also don't want, correct. According to the Orchaz Chaim, she's not chayeves and she should not. Ain't mavdils. Because it would be a brachal of Atala. That's true. That's true. So if the predominant view was the Orchaz Chaim, so then we would say, if she's stuck, don't make Abdullah. But because the predominant, as the most posts can assume, the predominant views like the Rambam and Rabban Yonah, she probably is chayav. When you can, avoid the shayla, let someone else, let a man make it for her. But if she doesn't have that option, she has to bite the bullet, you have to make a decision one or the other, so then you go, but I think the most posts can assume you go with the Rambam and Rabban Yonah. But let's go back to the typical case. Let's go back to the typical case, and let's now that we had a chance to dip our feet in our first sugya of brachas, Taf Chaf, taste a little bit of the mesikas of that sugya. So now we're ready to step back into the chuppah that we started with this morning. We walked in this room the first time today. We started under the chuppah with two Rashi Yeshiva. And Rav Shneur Kotler was telling Rav Shechter that Rav Shneur's grandfather, Rav Zalman Meltzer, used this to explain a Magen Avraham. You see, here in Magen Avraham, later Reish Sadi Vav, further down the column of the last page of the Magen Avraham, Noah Goanashim Shalol Ishtos Mikos Avdal. I told you before, Magen Avraham is one of the classic Mefarshim on the side of Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. So Magen Avraham quotes, Noah Goanashim Shalol Ishtos Mikos Avdal. Men and women will gather together to hear Avdalah. But the practice is that women don't taste the Havdalah wine. Why? There are different practices about whether the Mavdil, when it says Havdalah drinks, is the only one who drinks, or whether he hands it around to other men. But the practice is he doesn't hand it around to the women. Why do women, both men and women, taste the Kiddush wine? Why do women avoid tasting the Havdalah wine? No, Golanah Shoshal Lishtos because Havdalah. Why? Ayein HaTam B'Shlah. Shein Luchos HaBris. The Kabbalah, the Halacha Sefer with a lot of Kabbalistic interpolations. The Shlah explains, and he explains, he gives an explanation al Pisod, al Pi Kabbalah, for why, if you understand the Kabbalistic, the mystical underpinnings of Havdalah, you understand why it is that men should drink Havdalah wine, women should not. I am not a Mekubal. I am not equipped to explain to you. Risa Zalman, I don't know if he was a Makubo or was not a Makubo, but he suggested there may be an explanation al Derech Nigla. In addition to whatever Kabbalistic concerns the Shloah had, Risa Zalman Meltzer held that there's an explanation based on halachic considerations for women to avoid drinking the Havdalah. And it has to do with the intersection of what we just saw in Dav Chaf, and specifically how it landed in the Ramah's compromise about women and Havdalah. If you cross that with Daf Mem in Brachas, in our Perek, the Rishon Zalmelzer said, now I understand the Magen Avraham Derech Nigla. Well, what did the Gemara say in Daf Mem? What did the Gemara say in Daf Mem? Who here saw the Gemara in Daf Mem? Top of Daf Mem, Tol Baruch, Yavil Luturi. Sound familiar? It's familiar to some. Let's take a look together. Gemara Daf Mem, here we are in five blot into our parak, five blot into Ketzim Avarchim. We will B'li Neder later in the year dig into this Gemara Daf Mem fully. For now, we'll just see a taste, no pun intended. So this is a little bit of a taste of this Gemara. We'll see some of the larger Yesodos. There's a lot going on in the Gemara. But for now, we'll just take a look at some of the principles that the Amoran agree to. Take a look at the Gemara. Top of Mem Amar Alf Amarav. Tol Baruch, Tol Baruch. Gemara, the Rashi explains that the scenario is you have a botzeya, you have the fellow who made the bracha on the challah and is giving out the pieces of challah to the other people sitting with him around the table. The botzeya. What you would expect him to do is to make a hamotzi, take a piece, eat himself, and then distribute the rest of the challah to everyone else. Instead, he turns to the fellow next to him and says, Tol Baruch, here, take a piece of what we made the bracha on. Tol Baruch. Here, you take a piece. You take a piece. What's going on? Eino Tzarech Levarech. Rav says, you don't have to make a new bracha. If you said, Havei Melech, Havei Liftan, if he made the hamotzi, and before he takes a piece, he said, can you bring the salt? Can you bring the garlic dip? Can I have the stone ground mustard? Then, Tzarech Levarech. That's a hefsek. You got to make a new bracha. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that second case is also not a hefsek. Afilu haviu melech haviu lifta nami in Tzarech Levarech. Even that's not a hefsek. But Rabbi Yochanan says, if, after saying the hamotzi, before taking a bite of the bread, bite of the challah, bite of the matzah, whatever it is, bite of the wrap, before doing that, he said, gevilaturi, oh, can you go back, go outside to the barn and make sure to feed the goats, or the Gemara's example is feed the cows, the oxen, the turi, tzarech levarech, that's a hefsek. And the third Amor of Shesha says, afilu gevilaturi nami enu tzarech levarech, even if in between my hamotzi and the first bite of bread, I gave someone instructions about preparing the feed for the oxen, not a hefsek. Why? If you own animals, you're not allowed to eat until you make sure your animals had to eat. The Torah describes the psukim and kriyashma we say every day. The Torah first describes the food, having enough food for the animals, then it talks about the people eating and being satisfied. So apparently, if you own animals, you have to make, and they're due to be fed. You're not allowed to eat once they're due to be fed until after they've been taken care of. Interesting. And therefore, if they're fascinated, your own animals should keep it in mind. You want to run a farm one day? You want the deen of running a Jewish farm? Most of the deen of running a Jewish farm are Eretz Yisrael specific. But there are some deen of running a Jewish farm that apply all over the world. And this, some deen of Zeraim and some not. This is one of these non-Zeraim deen. You run a farm, you own, or it may apply to pets also. If you choose for some reason to have pet. So, this is something to keep in mind. If your pet's not due to eat for another few hours, you're like, you don't have to wait to eat lunch. But if your pet's due to eat now, and you also want to eat, you have to make sure the pet's fed first, and then you leave. Okay, and there, what does that have to do with hefsek and brachas? Ma kesher? So Rashi explains that there is you see from this Gemara two basic principles. Without getting again for now into the details of the differences between the three Amoraim, what they agree to is the following. Now, on the one hand, there's a principle of hefsek, and that appears in some other Gemaras also, that if I make a bracha on something, and specifically here the Gemara is talking about make a bracha on food, and I have conversation between the bracha and the first bite, that's going to ruin my bracha. I need to make a new bracha. The bracha has to be connected to the first bite of food, and if there's conversation between that disconnects them, and now this piece of food needs a new bracha. Tzarach lebracha. A. B is that conversation is only hefsek if it's unrelated. If I'm talking about, I made the bracha on the bread, and I say, here, I have a piece of the bread, you just made a bracha. Or, if I want to, I made a bracha on the bread, and I want to eat it, vehidur, with salt, with sauce, that's tzarach habracha, tzarach ha'achila. Or even, if I say something that seems like it's about a separate item, but it's necessary for what I made the bracha. I made a bracha on the bread, but I can't eat the bread until I feed the animal. So that's also tzarech ha'achila. So it's tzarech ha'achila, if it's relevant, if it's germane, so it's not a hefsek. But if I talk about something that's unrelated, that's a hefsek. The principle of hefsek. So Mrs. Zalman said, this is all happening under the chuppah. Right? Long chuppah. We're waiting for the eight to come up. So this is Sharon Cutler says to Shechter, so my grandfather, Mrs. Zalman, said, the reason al pi halacha, al pi nigla, for women not drinking Havdalah wine is because of that Ramah. The Ramah had said that we're machmer for both shitos, but maybe women are chayim Havdalah, maybe we are part of Havdalah. So one afkamina is, should they say or should they not say? So we try to avoid the problem. Whenever we can, we avoid the problem. They should be owed to someone else, so they neither say nor not say. There's another afkamina. This is all I'm going to say. Is. Give you another 60 seconds. Another nafkamina is the following. Stella's making Havdalah, said Baruch Priya Geffen. And then he said three other brachas. The Salman, the Aaron, Havdalah. And then we drink. That's a lot of downtime. So, is that. How does anyone ever drink wine after all those brachos? So we can explore more tomorrow. But the Acharonim said in today's Rud and Rishonim that if Chazal or Masakein, then I have to say all these brachos after the Baruch Priya Geffen. So that's like Tzarech HaBracha. That's relevant. That's not a hefsek. So that's true if I'm Chayiv in Havdalah. But let's say I'm not Chayiv in Havdalah. So then, it is a hefsek. Are women chayv in Havdalah? I don't know. So if they know they're in a potter from Havdalah, so make a Baruch Priya Geffen on your own and drink from the wine. If they are chayv in Havdalah, you were yotze with the Baruch Priya Geffen on the Mavdil. Drink the wine without a bracha. Ah! But what if they're not sure? So they don't know they need Baruch Priya Geffen or not. So that's why they just avoid drinking to avoid the problem. Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow, we're going to see where this takes us. We're going to unpack some more of the issues of Hefsek. We're going to see where this takes us. We're also going to see tomorrow where Shneur Cutler disagreed with his grandfather because of Birkas Erison. And that's going to bring us to the heart of the sugya of Erison, the bracha that happens under a chuppah. We will pick up with this, Emir Tzashem, tomorrow morning with both Shir and Seder.